17. Relief at last. At last, at long, long last, the storm began to die. Justice and prudence had long given up hope of seeing daylight ever again, or walking, running, or jumping in the fresh, clear, and warm air. Are we always to be in this cramped and airless hold? Shall we never be free from seasickness? They thought many times. But gradually the wind lessened. The waves no longer pounded the deck with such vehemence as before. True, the rain still beat upon the ship. But the storm had reached exhaustion point, like the passengers. It, too, had given up the struggle. The Mayflower, although appallingly battered, had come through. They had survived. "We're through the worst," comforted Mrs. Lovelace. "We shall come through. Lie still. Just a bit longer." Excitement reigned, the longed-for and oft-prayed-for. Words flashed through the hold. If the storm continues to die down at the present rate, the hatches will be opened within the hour. Each pilgrim's spirit was lifted. Hatches, open, fresh air again. A gigantic load was taken from every heart. The pilgrims were free to be human again, free. God had delivered them. They could live again. They had been brought through. They had triumphed. God had delivered them. At last the hatches were removed. All who could sought to go on deck immediately. They queued patiently at the foot of the steps, and meekly waited their turn to climb. Excited murmurs bubbled amongst them. They tried, but with only moderate success, to suppress their exhilaration as they waited for and anticipated fresh air at last. It was hard work for the enfeebled pilgrims to drag themselves up the steps. And what a sight met their eyes when they did eventually step out onto the deck. At first they were dazzled by the brightness of the light. It overpowered them. Although the skies above them were still leaden, it was bright as a midsummer noonday to the near-blinded sufferers. As they gradually grew accustomed to the startling brightness, they were amazed at the extent of the damage before them. They had grown so used to hearing in their dim, battered ears the violence of the tempest through which they had sailed. Now they could see the effect by the state of the ship. Wood everywhere was splintered and smashed to smithereens. A ragged cloth, a mere apology for a sail, flapped and cracked at the mast. The ropes were being thrown about wildly in the wind. They writhed aimlessly. The pilgrims walked about, vaguely staring at the chaos around them. They could not believe that this shambles was the same Mayflower that had left Plymouth. They could not take it in. Sailors were doing all they could to put the ship to rights. They had rigged up safety lines so that the passengers could get about by grasping the rope with two hands. The captain stalked around the ship with obvious purpose. He shouted his orders. His men sprang into life. They, too, were relieved to be up above once more. Spare sails, old and stained, were hastily dragged from below. New rigging was put together. Makeshift repairs went on all around. "Come on, you lubbers, let's get her shipshape again. To work, men, to work, with a will." Before long, the songs of the sailors announced the return of something like proper order to the Mayflower. The ship bent willingly to the moderating wind. She, too, was glad she was under sound direction again. She was no longer at the mercy of the wild and unpredictable storm. Justice and prudence took it all in. They were enthralled. "Let's go to our place, our special place." Prudence had to yell to Justice to overcome the force of the wind, which still possessed great power. She called to her brother and pointed forward. They pulled their way along the ropes very slowly and very carefully. and what a shambles met their eyes. What a mess. Instead of their cosy, orderly nook, they saw only a pile of broken spars and other bits of splintered wood. Water slopped about everywhere. The locker was split and wrenched from its moorings, its precious contents spewed over the deck. The place was a ruin. The children stood surveying the scene, silent, stunned. "Will it never be ours again?" cried Prudence, after a while and with anguish. "Of course it will," replied Justice, with far greater cheer in his voice than he felt in his heart. "When the sailors can get round to tidy up the place, and when the sun shines again, it'll be ours once more, you'll see." And so it was. Why, the very next afternoon, Justice and Prudence were to be found once again in their special hideaway. The wind had now moderated to a gentle breeze. The sun shone upon them. The long, long days of seasickness, fear, sobbing, and pain were almost forgotten. Almost. Will we ever be able to erase from our minds the memory of those dreadful days and nights of enforced captivity in the dungeon below? Prudence voiced her doubts. "We shall have nothing more to fear now," said Justice. "The worst of the voyage is over. To be plain sailing from now on." But how wrong he was. All unknown to him, another cause of great fear and sorrow was fast approaching their world of bliss. A far greater fear, much worse than they had known hitherto.